Fight!
Welcome to New Game Plus, a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin, and my favorite reindeer is Blitzen.
My name's Kenny, and, Donner.
Nolan. Vixen.
You dirty boy!
Oh gosh!
Should probably add a your dirty boy comment out of the podcast.
No, you can leave it in.
No, I actually feel like my masculinity went down just a little bit when I said that.
Oh, okay.
Hey, do y'all have winter weather where you're at? Is it getting kind of that wonderful time of the year?
No, not at all. No snow. No.
Is it at
rain?
Least a little bit of like? Is it chilly?
You okay? Why are you asking me? You know,
Kenny. What about you?
We've had colder weather and had a little bit of snow. Like it's actually still.
You've had snow?
Uh huh. A little bit,
dude.
Yeah, it was nice. We don't get that often, but it was a good change of pace. So, heading out to see family soon to warmer climates though, and so I won't get to keep any of it.
Yeah. I haven't seen any snow yet. It's just gotten a little bit chilly, but we have not had a wintry wonderland yet.
Hopefully, if there were ever a week to not have small talk, this would be the week. Holy cow, Chrono Trigger just happened. Let's talk about it. It was so good.
Let's not. Kenny, you gotta chill. We've gotta have conversation before
okay,
we get
fine.
Into the
you
game.
Can,
you
can,
do
can,
you can't do this every week
you
rush
can
into
work
the
us
game.
In. No, I know, but like this week it's because I'm legitimately excited.
I understand, and that's
fine. Great game.
But our viewers have to get to know us a little bit, and if we just and so
that's fair.
That's why I ask questions from the beginning so they can figure out how to relate.
And reindeer questions are the best way to assess personalities.
Definitely. So. That and these two following questions. And I really think that it will help people understand us better. All right. And I know it seems weird, but bear with me. What's one recreational activity that you haven't done that you'd like to do? For example, do you want to go hiking somewhere? Is there something that you want to climb? Do you want to swim in a certain place? Would you like to fly a certain place? Is there a recreational activity that does not include recreational drugs that you would enjoy going or doing? You thought of hang gliding, jumping out of an airplane. I'll stop giving you some fuel and actually let you speak.
That's great. I would love to go scuba diving somewhere beautiful.
Oh,
like
good
with
answer.
Fish and coral reefs and the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's always been on my list.
Yeah, yeah. Save it for the honeymoon. You should do that on a honeymoon trip.
It's a great
Absolutely.
Idea.
Kara and I did. That's why I'm thinking of honeymoon, because we were able to do that. Kara's scared of big bodies of water, but she was all about that, and it was beautiful, and she enjoyed it, and it was fun. It's a good answer. What about you, Nolan?
I think mine would be to hike a mountain, not like a crazy huge mountain. You know, like people go on these
right,
huge.
Right. You don't want to die. You don't.
I don't want to die, and I don't want to push my body to some kind of limit because I don't think that's cool. I know some people do. It's fine.
Yeah.
I just want to do a cool hike and then get to the top and feel accomplished.
Yeah, I could definitely see you doing
that's
that.
That's fun.
Something I would like to canoe. I've never really been canoeing, and I think going through some rapids would be fun. And
you'd probably like that.
That's great. That'd be a blast. I've gotten to do both of those things you guys just mentioned.
Well,
and
we're
both.
Jealous.
Oh, great. Maybe y'all get it for Christmas.
Dusty can rub in his honeymoon scuba diving, and I
yeah.
can't.
Oh, you're right.
True. Speaking of Christmas, as your family gathers this year, I know everybody does. Christmas is different than everybody else. Do you prefer, Nolan, you first this time, do you prefer a smaller or a bigger Christmas celebration? Some people like doing, you know, small family get-togethers. Some people like doing like huge, elaborate Christmas celebrations. Which are you? Are you more of a smaller or more of a bigger?
I've never experienced the huge family Christmas thing like you see in movies. I want to. So maybe one day I can have a family big enough. But usually it's just been my immediate family. And this year it's just going to be me and my wife, and we'll visit our parents. So I guess small, because I like that too. So I'm going to go with small.
All right. So you would do bigger, you would try it
yeah.
out, but you enjoy smaller.
For sure, yeah.
So hiking and smaller. All right. So what about you, Kenny?
Probably smaller.
any generally. Reason why you're not into the big party type atmosphere?
Oh, no, I like it, but like at least for like Christmas morning, like gifts and such, I think the kind of connecting and that letting that be sort of personal is neat.
Yeah, sure.
I feel that. Scuba smaller, that's good. I
why is he keeping track?
I am
He's reading a magazine.
I enjoy,
it's got a quiz in it.
I enjoy both. If you know me, I really like just private, intimate things and just like those that I'm closest to celebrate with. And I regularly say that, but I could every once in a while, especially for Christmas, I can do Christmas up big. Christmas is a big celebration in my heart, and so I can do a bigger type setting. So that's just me, and I don't know about our viewers. They might have all differing opinions. Some might be like Nolan and enjoy hiking and smaller Christmases. Maybe like Kenny and want to go scuba diving and enjoy smaller Christmas settings, or maybe like me and canoe bigger, chrono trigger.
All right, let's roll with it.
Literally the worst thing
I'll do
that's
the
ever
overview.
Happened to me. Like, that was like an un-Christmas gift.
Like, so mad.
You owe all of our viewers like 3 Christmas gifts just to make up for that.
Let's talk about Chrono Trigger.
Overview.
Let's, though, because holy cow, Merry Christmas to me. Like, I did not want a game that was super fun and that stole all of my time this week of all weeks. And then one happened, and I don't even regret it.
And it just unexpectedly took you by surprise.
It did. Like, I didn't know this game was going to be glorious, and it was.
And all of our lives have been changed.
Let me tell you all about this game.
Tell us.
Chrono Trigger is a role-playing game that was published by Squaresoft, which is now Square Enix, in 1995. So...
best this, year.
Possibly. So if you've ever played a Final Fantasy game pre-7, you're going to be familiar with the way this game's set up. It's produced by the same people, same format. You have your team, and then you have battles that you enter into, and then you have like a world map, and then there's... these games are based on story. There's a lot of story involved. So basically, Chrono Trigger is about a boy who is really just going about his business. I talked to Dustin about this. You know, he doesn't have like a title or some sort of like quest. He just kind of falls into it. But he meets a girl, and through a series of events, they end up time traveling. And this game is based around different settings in time, where you go and you will activate different parts of the story, characters, and different points in time. So you can go to prehistoric time, you have your current time for them, which is 1000 AD, and then you have like medieval and then futuristic. So you can freely roam later on, and we'll talk about that. But that's the kind of story and how this game's laid out. Whereas you've got your other RPGs, like Final Fantasy, where they're pretty much set in like a medieval style world, where you have sword fighting or bows or whatever, sometimes guns. This one kind of hits different areas in time, which is really interesting way to tell a story.
It kind of puts a really cool sort of science fiction-y twist, and not even like science fiction, but sort of that vibe into what feels classically like a fantasy genre.
Yeah.
You know,
this game came out on the Super Nintendo and was later ported to the PS1. And I believe in the PS1, they included animated cutscenes, which is really cool. I didn't watch them. I just read about it. But I thought that was a really cool thing that they took the time and kind of remaster cutscenes and animate them. I don't know if there's voiceovers or what. So those are the two ports. It's actually also on the Virtual Console on the Wii. You know, it's not like there was a ton of ports. So it just originally came out for the Super Nintendo and was a huge success. A lot of people regard this game as possibly one of the best RPGs of all time. So
I'm probably added to that list after this week.
You are?
Like, unlike you, I was completely unfamiliar, and it hit all of the sweet spots for me of like what this genre is supposed to be. You know,
well, you early on made a comment in my direction that in some way you compared it to Final Fantasy VII, which you knew that doing that in my presence would garner some kind of response, but you stand by that.
Yeah, it reminded
And I'm not
me,
quite sure I see that.
Oh, it's different. Like, it's not Final Fantasy VII by any means. Like, technology was different, and the way story was told is different. You know, like, the types of systems of magic are different, but there's sort of a, I don't know, a tone to it of sort of that classic RPG mixed with really interesting characters, mixed with a great story, like that sucked me in, and then I don't know, like it's not Final Fantasy VII again. I think mostly because earlier, but I feel like I reacted to it in a lot of the same ways that Final Fantasy VII got to me.
Yeah, that's fair. And the music is also another great feature, and I'm sure Nolan has some things to add to that. But the diversity of music is what's kind of so startling even. Like, the quality is incredible, too.
Huge soundtrack, though.
But,
huge.
Yeah, this huge soundtrack. I believe when it first came out, it was unprecedented. It came out on three different CDs, three different tracks.
Crazy.
Which, I mean, it wasn't – you don't have that much music in a video game, but they stuffed that much different music and different songs and themes into the soundtrack. And I thought that in large part shaped, you know, some of the things that you're experiencing in the game.
It did, but I feel like it was partly just a reflection of like how diverse the environments and the story and the emotional reactions they were trying to get to you out of different extremes were. Like, I feel like it was a reflection of the really, really great commitment to this game and the experience of it, rather than like, hey, let's also just make a whole bunch of really cool music. You know, I don't feel like it was a separate kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just something that like fit to sort of the scope of how they went about making this game across the board, you
know? Yeah. So, and I think you just touched on it briefly, Nolan, but the story, right? So the story, you're this wild red-haired little boy named Chrono. And you meet a friend, which you said, named Luca, and she and her father have built a time machine. And then something goes awry with the time machine, and you find yourself in the past.
Yes, you go back to 600 AD, so 400 years in the past. Marl is another character that she is a character you run into at this millennial fair. Is this thing going on? It's like a celebration. And you explore the fair with her, and then she tries out the machine that Luca and her father have made, and her necklace interferes with it, and she gets thrown somewhere, and they don't know where, so Chrono goes after her, and Luca joins him, and so their adventure begins.
And throughout, and so it's a time traveling game. So throughout the game, you more portals are opened, and you've got kind of got this central base hub called the End of Time, where you find a little ways into the game, where that's kind of where you go to go to a new time zone. And so there's these various portals that will take you to various times in history and various locations. I think really your main times, right, are 1000, which is where you came from, 1000 AD. You've got your 600 AD, which is that middle age stuff where some things go down. You've got your future, which is in the 2000s somewhere. And
I think 2300.
2300. And then you've got like 65 million BC.
Yeah, like yeah. Prehistoric times.
Like prehistory.
Those are kind of your main things. And through there, you get new party members that are from those times. That's one of the cool aspects of the game that I don't think happens. Well, I know that doesn't happen in most games because you're not dealing with time travel. From a lot of other RPG games, you get your characters from various locations on the map, but not various times in history. And so that's really cool.
It added to like character diversity and what they could do with it like crazy. And just gave some really cool interactions between like the character personalities. I don't know. It was great.
Yeah, and it adds to like the freedom to go throughout the game at your own pace and how you want. I believe you can. There's many different endings you can get because you can choose to end it at different times. But like,
oh, it absolutely is.
Yeah, and you create your story, your playthrough, there's so much variability there for like multiple playthroughs. It's also worth noting about the characters that if you look at the art style, you may recognize it. It looks a lot like Dragon Ball Z, and the artist who worked with Dragon Ball worked with this team, and so that's why it looks like that. And I just thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's actually the one sort of piece of the game that I didn't love as much. I've never been
the anime
sort of fond of that anime style look, you know.
Yeah, and it's even a rare anime style.
Yeah, absolutely, and you know, though a number of the sort of classic, especially sort of Japanese originating RPGs, sort of have vibes of that. Even the Final Fantasy series has some vibes of that. It's not my preference. It was a beautiful game. They did great with the art, but that's not my favorite thing.
Let's talk more about these characters and kind of their abilities and how this battle system works in our section of gameplay.
Gameplay.
It's a traditional RPG in some of these senses. You've got a growing party. You've got various party members that can do different things. You've got armor and weaponry that upgrades as you find and as you purchase better armor and better weapons throughout the game. Some of those are standards, but it's a unique game in some of these other RPG elements that it introduced. At least in the way that it did things, in the flair that it did things. So in a lot of RPGs, you've got some kind of magic system with MP. In this game, you've got your tech abilities.
Yeah, your techniques, I think, is what it's short for.
Your techniques.
Yeah.
And they work off of, is it MP or what is it?
Yeah, it's basically your magic. Now, it's separate because there are actual, like, magic skills that are addressed specifically as magic, and those... I think are considered part of a technique, but you know, you can have techniques that are also like non-magical based. So
text and magic both draw from MP.
Gotcha. Yeah, they both pull from the same resource pool, but are slightly different in how the game considers them.
And another thing that was very unique is that you can combine two or three of your active party into using a tech together, which obviously increases the damage done and maybe even the scope of damage done to the people around you. This one is not where, you know, your party's lined up on one side of the screen and the other party's on the other. When you get into fights, the placement can be all sorts of different ways, and the characters, the bad guys, move around on that little stage, and so depending on where they are, you can either hit multiple ones with a move, or one, or, you know, or all of them at the same time.
Yeah, you hit a couple of things. Go ahead, and then I'll share some thoughts. I know we're both excited.
In some Final Fantasy games, I know I've been pulling this a lot, but I believe it's Final Fantasy XII. The battle system in that one is kind of interactive, where you see enemies on the map instead of like when you're walking randomly stepping into a battle. You see them on the map, and so you can actually avoid them sometimes. Like, you can go around them if you don't want to fight them, or if you think that it's a waste of time, or they may be too hard.
Yeah, it's not random battles.
No, it's not random battles. You can actually decide to skip them, and I'm sure the speed run of this game skips all of it. But that's a cool little feature that I haven't seen in games around that time.
Absolutely. Like, I the two things I was going to point out is I love how they did the dungeons. Especially with that, where like the environment that you're in as you're, you know, like crawling this dungeon, has quasi-random encounters, but not like fully random. Sometimes they're avoidable or unavoidable, depending. But that those fights happen in that environment. You're not like cutting to a separate battle screen. Like, it feels really integrated. And because sort of they set up these dungeons so well, they were able to not have random encounters in the world map, which I actually thought was really nice. It can be really frustrating in a game like this when you're kind of at that meta level view and like going from a town to another town to have to, you know, fight all these random battles. I was really pleased with that approach that they took. That was great. And then, Dustin, what you were talking about, was maybe one of my favorite aspects of the game. Like, because your techniques interact with each other, and because those interactions are unique to who you have in your party, like each two or each three people can learn skills and techniques that they can only use with those other people. Like, you're not just leveling up individual characters, you're leveling up like party compositions.
Yeah.
You know, which adds so much replayability to the game, because unless you're going through and swapping out your party like constantly, you're probably going to play with, you know, one or two sort of sets of party. And so then you can come back and play the game, have a whole nother set of skills that you can pull from as you play with different characters, and those level up differently. And that's like, that's super cool. It's a great idea.
What did you guys think about how they utilized the time traveling? This game is unique in that it does introduce time traveling, but in that you visit the same locations. Really, your world map is really small, and there's only a few villages and a few places. I haven't played the whole game, so there might be more, but from what I've gathered so far, there's really only a few villages, a few places, a few mountains, a few different things, but you're visiting it in, like we said, three or four different time zones, and so much shifts and changes from when you go throughout the time that it's like you're in a whole new world, Aladdin.
Yeah, it really is. You do unlock some places that you can't get to sort of initially when you're like bound to just walking around. But it's a smaller world than a lot. But then you multiply that world times, you know, five or however many like eras there are, and that's how many actual flavors of the world you get. It's super cool.
Yeah, I think they handled it well. Because you have this, you eventually get to a point in the game where you get to this place called the End of Time, and it's like this hub, kind of like a base. It's like a safe zone where you can save, heal, and just kind of pick your party, and there's a room in there with multiple portals to different periods of time that you may have seen so far or haven't seen yet, and that's kind of how you choose. It eventually gives you the freedom to pick
to
your
go
time,
anywhere. Yeah.
Right? Instead of just linear, like being linear and throwing you into this time period, and then you're going to go to this one. You get to a point where it opens up. And even though,
it,
like you
it does
said,
kind
Justin,
of guided initially though, like through story early, which is actually really helpful.
It gets you to the End of Time, and by then you're used to it. And Dustin, like you said, the map itself isn't big, but the fact that it looks a little different in each, I mean, really different in each time period, and then different enemies in each time period, it did not to me, like I forgot it was the same map when I got to a new time period. It was new each time, and so they handled it great.
Yeah, they really did. And they did really good things with the time travel element. Like, when you go back in time and you do something, and then you jump forward in time, things have changed. Like, you can physically see the results of what you've done in environment, or in, you know, items that you can find or not find, or in quests that you can do, or in ways that people or NPCs interact with you. And that's cool. I think that would be hard to do well with sort of a time travel based mechanic, but they do it so well. You know, they could have just made it, here's five different stories and you kind of have to just jump to each one and then go through that whole era, you know, and it be standalone, but they really tie into each other really, really well.
Aged.
Chrono Trigger came out March 11th, 1995. Here we are 20 years later. How do you guys think the game aged?
Wonderfully. I know I'm just sort of like gushing because I really have fallen in love, but like it's a genre that I like, but even knowing that in a genre I like, it was a game that was popular, I wasn't expecting it to be as much fun as it was.
Yeah, and I'm not asking you, I mean, you can gush and that's fine, that's enjoyable, but this is not just did you like it, but do you think that its mechanics and its story and its graphics and those kinds of things aged well?
No, I'm standing by that, like physically. Like for me, a game, it has to be fun, like the mechanics have to be fun, and there were a few places like any of the older RPGs where it felt a little bit grindy. You know, if you were going through a dungeon and then like had to walk back and then walk back through a room, having to like refight those same enemies and a few things that were a little frustrating at places. But overall, the story just sucked me in. The characters were so fun and unique. And literally, like, I started the game and played in 3 minutes. And one of the very, very first things you do is go to this fair that's going on. And there's a giant robot that you fight to, like, earn some points. And the music comes on, and he sings, and he dances, and then you fight him. And it's the funniest thing. And I don't know. It just, like, it has charm and appeal. And it's great, and the music, and I know I'm just rambling and gushing, but, like, it aged well.
It's good, Nolan.
On both of the fronts.
Nolan, to get Kenny to stop, would you kind of share what you think about how it aged?
Yeah, let me shut him down. No, I'm kidding. I agree with what Kenny said. And I did want to touch on that, like the comedy that's dispersed throughout it. I mean, it's so well done, and it helped the game age, I think, because it's so,
for sure.
It's funny, but it's like it adds this other layer onto an already like awesome game with so many aspects.
And just not humor. Like, it's got the feels too. Like, there's stories that are like good.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I probably should have prefaced it with that. Like, the story is like the characters and everything. You're so involved with them, and it is an emotional story. But then there's this other layer of just like comedy, and then to wrap it all together, the music to me is what made this game age awesome. The music was so ahead of its time.
Huh. What if it actually was?
Oh my goodness.
Okay, let me figure out a different way to say it.
No.
Because Chrono Trigger?
No, yeah, yeah.
Time travel?
I followed you from the beginning, Kenny.
Okay.
Yeah.
The music was so well done. And I just have to, like, say it. Like, the dude who did its name is Yasunori Mitsuda. And he did such a great job. Like, they threw him at this game. They said, all right, you're going to do this game. And it's like, you know, you're at Squaresoft, which is a huge company. They've got Final Fantasy, and they've got all these other titles, and so that was probably intimidating, but he was wanting to score a game, and so he jumped on this title, and it became one of like the best soundtracks in a game I've ever heard. And I believe he returned for the sequel in Chrono Cross, but like we've already mentioned, it's a huge soundtrack, and so for me, that's what makes it age so beautifully. And one of my favorite parts, maybe, was the lack of music in one of the places you go to. It's silent. And It's noticeable because you've been hearing these beautiful tracks this whole time, and then you get to this place and you're like, oh man, this is serious. And it's like that, the fact that it could impact me like that and make me feel like that, then like it's still a thriving game. It aged awesome.
I, Dustin? Too think the game aged exceptionally well. I think what some of these older, maybe in the 90s games have going for it, and I mean, I guess any era, is when you don't try to go too realistic with the graphics, you've got a lot of leeway, and in that you are able, it's able to be accessible throughout various ages and times. 20 years later, you can still play with sprites because those sprites still look good if done well. And Chrono Trigger, I think the art style was done well. I mean, it's a vibrant world. It's you don't have these realistic three-dimensional characters. You're working with a two-dimensional fictional world. I think they've really fleshed out their world well with their forests and cities and dungeons, and then the time travel adds a huge element. Y'all have mentioned time and time again, so I'll just say I agree with the soundtrack. Like, just wonderful. Like, it would do nobody any harm right now to pull up YouTube and just search for Chrono Trigger OST and get that original soundtrack playing in the background as you travel or as you try to work today, because it's a really good soundtrack. Now, let me say this since we're here and y'all have kind of both given your opinion, because something that you just mentioned is something that has been a point of contention for me. I've been trying to think this week, what's the one holdup for me? Because this week when I played it, I enjoyed it. I'm going to continue to play it. I want to beat it. And I'm enjoying it. I really am. But there's been something that's caused me not to be able to fully enjoy it. And so I've been trying to process, what is that? And I think I think that the lightheartedness of it is what is not connecting me. And I think there's something in me that wants this dramatic story that like plunges me into the depths of these characters. And although there is some character development in Chrono Trigger, there's not, I'm not done with the game. So there's
yeah, right.
More.
Yeah.
But
I think that improves,
but I'm a good distance. I'd say I'm maybe getting close to halfway through or so, but I haven't seen tons of character development. I haven't connected to the characters that much, and the lightheartedness of it draws me out of the seriousness of the situation. And I might be a hypocrite in what I'm about to say, because in Final Fantasy VII, my favorite game, these guys at first, all they want to do is overthrow an evil corporation, and by the end of the game, they're trying to save the world from a meteor and you know, an alien bad girl. But in this game, you're literally at a fair, and then you're, you know, trying to save the world from this, you know, monster that is going to destroy everything at some point in time. And so I don't know, something about the story and the lack of character development, it is causing me not to completely engage. What's my problem?
Let me give you some hope. You don't have a problem. I can, like, that's a normal thought, I think, at this point, because I know where you are in the game. I will give you some hope. It will open up and get a little more serious tone to it, and you will get attached to at least one of the characters because of their plot. Like, each character has
Absolutely.
Kind of like their own storyline, and so don't worry, it's coming.
I'm with you.
I mean, yeah.
No, it may not be as even heavy as you want, but like, and again, the lightheartedness of it, I really enjoyed. Sort of in contrast with the big dark things that were happening.
Same.
You know, I thought that like balance actually works really well, but like, yeah, I would say it gets to better and sort of more serious character development later into the story, not as early.
That's fair. At least that gives me a new hope, you know?
No.
And again, like there's always preference, you know,
just
in style.
Let's ignore it, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, there is preference in style, definitely. And please don't misunderstand me, you guys or viewers. Like, I'm not in any way saying that this is a bad game. It's a good game, but there is something for me personally that is disconnecting. And I think what I've narrowed it down to is just the seriousness of the tale and the.
Yeah.
The development of the characters. I want too much of that. And
yeah.
some of it's where it's even at. Like, again, it's at that weird like Super Nintendo phase where it's in between. Like, it's way more story and development than like original Final Fantasy or like Dragon Warrior 1 or, you know, some of these kind of earlier RPGs that I think of that I love. And it lives sort of somewhere in the middle between that and like a, you know, like a Final Fantasy VII, where it's fleshed out and cutscenes and where it can go crazy, crazy in depth. And I kind of like the balance, you know.
Yeah.
That was part of the appeal to me, because I've always liked those early generation RPGs. I think more than you do, Dustin. Like, I love, like, Final Fantasy I may have been my favorite, VII, but besides that.
Right.
One,
no, yeah, you like those early.
This game does take a while to open up in that regard. I can say that. So hopefully by the end of the game you'll feel a little better about that. But it takes a while, and I guess it's due to the nature of like of the time travel aspect of it, because there's a lot they have to introduce, and there's also a lot of variability, like I said, where the game creators don't know what path you're taking, but it's there and you can take it.
Yeah.
So like, I feel like they had to take a while before everything starts to come together and it gets a little more serious.
But we all agree, it aged well. You can pick this up today.
Yeah.
I mean,
please pick this up today.
Honestly,
absolutely. If you haven't played this game and like RPGs, play it.
Let's summarize.
The final shell shock.
I think that this would be a good section of our conversation to kind of read some things that some of our viewers have sent us in regards to the game. I think during this summary section, it would be good for us to be able to respond to some of those things. So we got
absolutely.
We got an extensive email from Antonin. I mean, he's our day one man, and we'll be talking to him for many years to come, I imagine. But Lord willing, but he sent us a very detailed email, and some of the things that he said were just stuff that I wanted to point out, and we can respond to. But he actually played the DS version. Now I played the Super Nintendo, and I'm assuming you guys did too.
Yeah, I did.
Correct. I have it on Virtual Console.
Which is the original. I would love to play it on the DS. He talked about how it's not a remake, so it's not like it's changing anything significantly. It's just kind of adding and updating some. But he said that one of the things that it did is that it improved the user interface, making some of it touch compatible. But that also there were some themes for the text areas depending on where you're at in the story. I think that's brilliant.
Oh, that's really cool.
That might happen with other games. Like, I'm talking about, like, if you're in the Wastelands, then mm-hmm. your text theme is more of a gray, matte type color.
I love that.
If you're in a castle, it's going to be more stony. I love that.
That's really cool.
I think that's really cool.
You can change it on the SNES version, but it doesn't change with where you are.
Yeah, it doesn't change with where you
are.
Right,
it's just universal.
He said that he can say with all confidence that the game did age very well, and well, I guess maybe I got this even from him. He said it could have been released this year and it would have caught my eye.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's
like
so
it, again, good. I somehow missed this one in my past gaming experience and love the genre.
Yeah.
And like play these games as I can each week and put in some time, and like this one just legitimately sucked me in. I probably played this game 4 times as much as the average game that I put in.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean?
That's awesome. Well, you had almost beat it by like day 2.
Yeah. Like that first afternoon I clicked it on and then like my day was destroyed.
Right.
You know, and then most evenings after that I got to put in a good chunk of time. You know, I lost some sleep this week.
Yeah.
Just diving in and that just speaks to the fact that like it's valid today. It really, really is.
Well, Kenny, did you conquer the game? Did you beat it?
I did. I went all the way through and got ending number 1, sort of the classic, you know, ending, did all the side quests where the characters get all of their upgraded weapons, and like I didn't like fully complete it in that like the characters aren't fully maxed, the, you know, there's certain combinations of parties that don't have all of their techniques unlocked. You know, obviously I probably passed some stuff, but I got a full like playthrough in a week.
Great job. Nolan, what about you? Did you beat it?
I'm about 2 hours of solid gameplay from beating it to getting the first ending, like the classic ending.
Awesome, awesome.
Which is still really impressive because, like, that's pretty far in.
Yeah, and I do plan on beating it tomorrow.
So. Awesome. Yeah, I don't start any RPG and not beat it, so I've got to be able to beat it at some point, and I plan on doing so. It's definitely a good enough game to play and to play all the way through. With the wide array and the cast of characters, without spoiling anything, who's your favorite teammate?
I really like Frog. Just from his story and just his dialogue, it's a tough choice. I really like all these characters, but it's Frog for me.
I agree.
By the way, Frog is not just a nickname for a friend. Frog is literally an anthropomorphic frog.
Sword wielding.
Who is a knight from the Middle Ages. So it doesn't get better than that.
No, it really doesn't. And like his default name is Frog.
Yeah.
Similar vein, I would say probably Frog is up there for me. Just his story really, really is great. But in terms of like playing with them consistently and liking the animations and some of the character stuff, like personality stuff, I really liked Robo. Like he's
so awesome.
He's great.
Which
know.
I don't know if you could guess it, but he's a robot.
He's a robot. Right. Robo is a robot.
They did not really try on that one.
And you know, it's he's great.
Well, I really liked Main Guy. Was that his name? Main Guy?
Yeah. Protagonist.
Yeah, protagonist. no, I liked Chrono. I typically really enjoy those main characters. I think Frog's probably going to be a favorite for many people. The wide cast of characters, like Kenny has mentioned, you can play with many. You can change up your party throughout the game, or you can play through primarily with one party and play it again with a different party, which we need to talk about as we conclude here talking about the game, because, guys, I know you probably know that there's a new game plus function at the end of this game, but what you might not know is that this was the very first game that had that that coined that title, new game plus.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh,
that's so appropriate. I love
it. We owe it so much.
It would be a sin for us to not reference that. And Kenny, that probably makes you love this game even so much more.
It does.
That just...
There had been games before like this game
that
allowed you to play it again with some added features. But this is the very first game that had the new Game Plus option where you could click on that after a completed game and play with some of your same stats and some of your same upgrades and weapons and armor.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do New Game Plus when I'm done.
Yeah.
I really am. I have time. I'm on break.
And we talked about this week, Nolan, but now would be the time. We'll go around the table. Do you give this your New Game Plus stamp of approval? And what that means is, are you glad you played this game again? Would you play it again? And would you encourage others, if they've played it before or if it's just some time in their past, would you encourage someone to play it again? That's your New Game Plus stamp of approval.
It's got all of my thumbs up.
New Game Plus. All right, yeah. Nolan, you.
Yes, New Game Plus. Play it. It's amazing.
Yeah, and same with me. New Game Plus, I give it. All right, we're at the end of our episode, and what we typically do is we randomly select a new game to play for the next 7 days before we talk about it on the next episode. But we're doing something different this week, right, Kenny?
We are. It's a crazy time of year, and it's a Christmas time of year, and so we figured we would combine both of those things and not mix up a game this week, but simply take some time to reflect and share with you guys some of our fun, kind of nostalgic-driven video game memories.
Yeah, so next week we are going to record a special Christmas podcast. It'll be very different from our regular episodes. It might be shorter, might be longer. I don't know. Might be twice as long. I don't know. We might release it in parts. Who knows, guys? But you'll be able to find it out next week. We'll release it during the week of Christmas. Give you something for your long travels to listen to.
I just want to say that even though we are kind of taking a break from playing a game this next week, we still want your suggestion. So if you still have a game that you want to share with us and add to the list, then still send it to us. And thanks, Antonin, for your input on this game. It was really awesome to see your thoughts, because we all love this game, and
hearing other people's perspective is huge.
So thank you
for sure. And we'll get back into the Retro Master List catalog like ASAP, you know. Even being on break and not doing an official like podcast game, I'm sure we'll all be playing games of some variety. And so we'll look forward to our Christmas episode and then some more new games pluses after that.
Definitely. If you would like to join the family, the conversation, you can find us on all of our social media on Facebook or Twitter, NGP Podcast. Hey, we've got a website up now. Yeah, man. www.ngppodcast.com.
You can, it's original.
Cool. Yeah, it's great, man. It's super cool. You can find us there. You can find us on our SoundCloud/NGP podcast, or you can email us personally at ngppodcast@gmail.com. Anything we get from you in regards to Twitter or Facebook or email, it just makes our week. Continue sending us your thoughts on games we should play, and we are looking forward to hanging out with y'all for Christmas this next week. Until then, have a great week and play some old games.